800-859-0957. Just give us a call, that number. We have a staff of people here who are standing by, anxious to answer your question. Thank you very much for joining us here on the Internet Advisor. You heard the young lady. The phone number is 800-859-0957. And that will put you in touch with our distinguished panel of experts here. That's Mr. Cal Carson and Gary Baker. And I just kind of drive the bus. I'm along here for the ride. But I made enough mistakes that I'll be able to chime in occasionally an answer.
And that's how we all know what we're doing is we've had to fix our own machines many times.
Exactly it. So again, the number 800-859-0957. Our mantra here is the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. And we're standing by for your questions. Let's go to Don in Port Huron. Don, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Well, I've got a computer 101 question.
Gotcha.
I have two computers, a laptop and a desktop, and I bought them both, or my wife did, in 2009. And we used the laptop to go to Florida. I don't do that much anymore. But the problem is I got a message on the computer recently that says, you're not going to be able to use this computer safely because I got a Windows Home Premium on both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really not very computer literate. So I suspect that means that they're not going to be, won't be able to, keep my computer current. They both work very well.
Well, let's back up just a second. You got this message. Where did the message come from?
It was when I go to put the computer on scan. It came up, and I think it came from Dell. I think it did.
Well, that it'd be important to find out where it came from because it doesn't make any sense that a computer would reach a certain age. Heaven help us. There are people in our audience who have been using computers from much earlier on for that and, have limited uses for them, but they get along just fine. What operating system are you using?
Vista Home Premium.
Vista Home Premium.
Yeah.
Well, there are certain things about the Vista Home Premium that will be either limited or you can't
get support
anymore
for them.
That much is true.
About, I think.
Yeah, that much is true.
So that's probably what this is.
Yeah.
Unless you can tell me, no, that's not.
Well, no, I think that's what it is.
Okay. So what's happening? And they did this with Windows 95. When so they say we're going to stop providing support on this date.
That's what it says. Yeah.
And as you get closer and closer to the date.
Okay.
Now, here's the problem. Just because they don't provide support doesn't mean that that computer is going to stop functioning.
Right.
It doesn't mean that anything other than you're not going to get security updates, which means over time your security is going to degrade, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they keep finding things that are wrong. Well, they won't even look to find things that are wrong, but the bad guys will. And because nobody is patching your computer, providing patches for your computer, the bad guys will, some point down the road, right? They'll take and write a little program that basically goes through your neighborhood. And this is an online neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And they walk up and they wiggle the doorknob on your front door.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's open, they'll come in and take over your computer. So
that is the risk that you run now,
right,
because of the security being down. Cal, what we're talking about is apparently the message has to do with he's running Vista Home Premium.
Yes.
And that it's simply saying, and it may be from Dell, but it's saying that the support won't be there anymore.
Won't be there any longer.
No, so, that is correct. Oh, I'm sorry. Please finish.
No, go ahead.
That is correct. And what's worse than that, not worse than that, but if you've been using that computer, you'll probably notice that some of the internet sites you go to, you have difficulty with your browser.
Right.
They don't necessarily work with it, and it's because you can only update the Vista Internet Explorer browser for that version of Vista, but so far. And it just gets to a point where you either have to upgrade the software, or in this particular case, I think you said you got the computer in 2009.
Right.
You're probably, it's time to go ahead and consider getting a new machine.
And well, everybody says that, you know, but I'm 90 years old, so I've been around the horn a few times.
I understand.
Every time I go to the Best Buy, they say, oh, you got to buy a new computer, but these work just fine.
Yeah.
Okay. But I can't update them. Is that correct?
That is correct. Because no one is writing any more updates for them. You know, you're on an operating system that is 1, 2, 3 versions back.
Right.
And they can only do it but so long. Now, if you never connected that computer to the internet, then the hazard that Gary was speaking of would not exist. You won't have that problem. But then again, you won't be able to do anything on the internet. And at 90 years old, you still got some time left. I don't think you're going anywhere.
Oh, no, I don't go anywhere.
Don, the other thing to keep in mind, and we're going to wrap up because we're coming to a break in just a moment, but something to keep in mind is that you can get refurbished computers very reasonably at places like
$100,
yes,
and you will be amazed at the difference.
Yes.
The speed and whatnot.
I'm not worried about the cost. That isn't a big deal. It's just I like it, and they both work really well. And, you know, it's like a car to me, you know, as long as it works, why you just keep driving.
Yeah, then in this particular case, what happens is this car only has so much. It can only run on certain kinds of gas, and those stations are going out of business. So if you... You know, at some point, you're either going to have to go only certain places or you're going to have a problem getting there and have to do things.
So is it really dangerous? I use the computer some...
Well, the danger, just to kind of wrap this up,
is... Both to you and to other people because it could be a bot that gets installed on your computer and then it's being used to attack other computers.
So, Don, there are, you know, to wrap things up there, you can continue. Yes, you continue to use it the way it is right now.
However, for a while,
it's like an older car, you know, that has 200,000 miles on it. Yeah, you can keep on running, but it's going to be a gamble. And you get a really cold day, and it may not start, or there may be other things that happen to the car.
The next time you have a problem, it's probably the time. You don't have to run out right now and do it.
Yeah.
But the next time you have a problem, it's probably the time to upgrade.
Don, thanks so much for giving us a call at 90. Enjoy what you got.
Yeah, gotta love it. Gotta love it.
God bless you. All right, Jim from Detroit, Larry from Newport, we will be back with you in just a moment. And the number, once again, is 800-859-0WJR. That's 800-859-0957. Back to answer more of your questions in just a moment. We were teasing a little bit during the break about Don, who's 90 years old from Port Huron, calling. Thank heavens he's able to call. I mean, to have that be your problem, the least of your problems.
Yeah, it's wonderful that at 90 that he's still going strong on the internet. More power to him.
Yep. We love it.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much, Don, for giving us a call.
And call back often. We'd love to talk.
Yes,
and let him be an inspiration to other people to call in. It doesn't matter how old or how young you are. We're here to help.
Absolutely. Jim from Detroit, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help?
You know, I've got a HP Pavilion DB7, and I'm getting a pop-up that says drivers need to be updated.
Okay, so this is HP. Say that again. HP...
Pavilion DB7 laptop.
And which drivers need to be updated?
It doesn't say. It's just a pop-up that says your drivers are outdated and they need to be updated.
So what are you doing just prior to that? Are you trying to print?
I'm just turning it on.
Well, here's the question.
Okay.
The message that's popping up, does it say it's from HP? Or
no.
Does it say it's from someone else?
No. If I hit yes to update... It takes me to a screen that says you have to purchase a plan.
Yes. Don't do that.
All right. Off the bat, you've been...
Yeah. So I would not take and click on anything in that case. What I would do, if you see something like that, you know it's HP. You know what your computer has on it. I would immediately get out of that site. I'd go to HP.com. I'd go to the support. I'd put in your computer number and say, please check it out. And if I need a driver, you know, help me get to the right place, I'll download the driver from there.
All right. Well, that's what I thought it was, because I never purchased a plan.
No. No, and this is kind of a typical scam. I would be a little bit concerned. Oh, go ahead, Cal, you had something.
I would think after you got past that screen, I would go and download something like Malwarebytes.
Yeah, that was my point, yeah.
And I would run that against your computer. I suspect that this is one of those things where you went to a website, they had buried somewhere in the website, they're handy, you know, we'll help you get your drivers, we'll help you tune up your computer type thing, and they're trying to get you to sign up for that sort of thing. You need to get that off your computer.
Yeah.
And the best way, I think, to do it is to use something like Malwarebytes.
Something to look at, Jim, is it's kind of what you've experienced here is a symptom. It's a symptom of something else that has been embedded into your computer that you want to get at. So what Gary was talking about is true. You know, if there are drivers that needed to be updated, go right to the source. Ed talks about that continually. Go right to the source, HP or Dell or whatever it else may be. But beyond that, this seems to be a symptom that somebody else has gotten into your computer, as Cal was saying, and it could cause you a good deal of other problems.
And the reason they do that is because once in a while, drivers do need to be updated.
Yep.
So, you know, it's a logical thing that might happen, but you never click on a link just because they want to make it easy for you.
Is this kind of a...
Go on your own. Flash does that a lot. You know, Adobe Flash Player
will pop up and say,
your player's out of date. I immediately get out. I go to Adobe. I go to Flash. I go to the download page, and I check, and I go, oh, yeah, they got a new version. I'll download it and install it myself.
From there directly. Guys, is this kind of an example of phishing in some ways?
No.
Well, it's trying to con you, so it's not an email phish.
Yeah, okay.
But, I mean, they're trying to con you.
Yep, right? That's the bottom line. All right, Jim.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much for giving us a call and for letting people hear that kind of a situation, because I'm sure that...
A lot of people would have the same problem, so it gives us an opportunity to say this. So thanks. Thank you, Jim.
But clearly, to be clear on that, too, if they at one time, like sometimes you'll buy a new computer and they'll say, would you like Dell's maintenance manager to keep an eye on it? If you say yes, it'll then periodically come up and say, you need drivers, you need that. But it will clearly say who it is. It'll say Dell. It'll say HP. Yep. It'll say Toshiba.
Yep. Now, I have that with HP. Because I bought a new HP printer, and it's kind of almost to be expected.
You know, banks do that. You know, they'll come out and they'll say, hey, you know, you need to do something with your Bank of America account. Well, I don't have a Bank of America account, so that's one indication, right?
All right. But,
you know, so be careful when you get a message like that.
Yeah. Larry from Newport, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How may we help you, sir?
Hey, thanks for your time and attention.
Sure.
My wife's laptop has recently acquired one of those ransomware things.
Oh, dear.
Is all lost, or is there a remedy?
Some ransomware can be resolved, depending on if it's one of the older versions when they first started that, and you can find reputable companies that can resolve it. If it's one of the newer strains, you may be out of luck.
Yeah, okay.
So is it backed up anywhere?
Once upon a time, one of our units got it, and I was able to hit system restore and recovered that way. But this time, no options.
Yeah.
How far back in the system restores did you go?
Wasn't too far back, only a couple pages.
Okay, so you didn't have that much of a system restore chances to do, huh?
Yeah.
Did you ever do a backup of the computer in the past?
Oh, it's her computer, so I don't usually mess with it, you know. I got my own little toy, so she has hers. And
well, it would be wise in the future, once you got this straightened out, to help her with the discipline of backing up on a regular basis, because that, as Cal is saying, if there had been a system backup at this point, then you would lose some of the things, but you could simply go back and reinstall it, you know, scrub it and reinstall it.
And the smartest way to do that backup situation, in my opinion, is to do one of the online backups that there are out there, like CrashPlan or Mosey or Carbonite, that sort of thing. Go ahead and have that, you know, you'll pay the, you know, $15 or $20 a month for it, but it runs automatically in the background. And so, therefore, you don't have to go over and do that work for her on her machine. As long as she fires it up once a day and has it on the internet, it'll automatically do the backup for you. And then if something should happen like this again, you can go and do a restore from that backup.
But it sounds like right now the situation you're in there, it's you're going to need to do...
Basically wipe the drive clean and restore it back to factory settings and then start all over again.
Okay.
Yeah, at this point, it's 10 years old. It'll probably find a future life as a planer board. So.
Thank you very much. When you go to the store, take that 90-year-old caller ahead of you, and you guys buy machines together.
All right, Larry, thanks for your call. find some creative use for that old machine.
Doorstop, boat anchor.
Boat anchor. Charles,
no, don't put it in the water.
No, Charles from Toledo, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How may we help you on this beautiful afternoon?
It is beautiful. Thank you for taking my call. Hang on 1 second.
Charles, hang on a second.
Go ahead. I got it.
Got it? Okay, good.
For your previous caller, Don, I believe his name was.
Yeah.
I have the same operating system, and it was with Internet Explorer that I was having problems with.
Mm-hmm.
So I just downloaded the Firefox system, and it works fine enough to do what I have to do.
Okay.
And as far as a virus type thing, I just pay a small monthly charge to my internet provider for the Norton virus protection, and it does what I need to do.
Okay, so you're saying something important, Charles. I think we need to underline for people, and that is that, for instance, that Don could have avoided some of the messages, et cetera, by using another browser other than Internet Explorer, right?
Correct. That's what I had to do. I cannot use Internet Explorer anymore.
Okay. But
because I had the same thing, so then that's when I went to that, and you know, it works fine. Except, you know, it's a slow computer. There's no doubt about that. To where, like, if I try to watch a video or something like that, it spools up. You know,
almost
constantly.
Yeah.
But as paying bills and I don't know how much searching he does.
It works. But something to keep in mind is it does work, but he's also vulnerable. And so are you. That's the other part of it. And we would rather not have you vulnerable because of using a system where the security is out of date. Charles, thanks so much for giving us a call. And Bob from Fraser and Alex from Rochester, we'll be back with you shortly after the bottom of the hour here. And our number again, 800-859-0957. I'd like to take a moment to thank the people behind the glass, as we say. Mike Stant, thanks so much for being here as our engineer. And Logan Stantifer, it's delightful to have you with us. My granddaughter steps in as our producer. She's the sweet voice that answers the phone. And it's so good to have her with us here this weekend. It's good, by the way, to be able to get in contact with you folks out there, our listeners as well, through the phone lines. And you can do that this weekend for another about 25 minutes. And the number is 800-859-0957. Let's go out to Rochester and to Alex. Alex, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How may we serve you?
Well, thank you for a great show. I have always enjoyed listening to you. You've solved a lot of problems for many of us here in the metropolitan Detroit area. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for bringing the problems in.
Well, they're all out there. I was coming down the stairs, and I heard my computer talking to me, and it said something about I wouldn't be able to use it unless I called this phone number.
Uh-oh.
And on the screen, it said Zeus and a bunch of other information. I just shut it down immediately and brought it back up. I've got ESET virus protection as well as the network protection and the security for banking and all that. I upgraded to that system. But I took my machine in, and she ran through it. A girl went through it professional and said there was nothing wrong with it. And I don't understand why that would come up and why would it be a problem. And how do I prevent it in the future? That's the big thing.
Very good question. Now, we're all kind of scrambling here to look for the Zeus. I think there is a Zeus.
There's a Zeus game.
No, I think there's a virus out there.
They say it actually infects your boot sector, but it's not difficult to get rid of. That's what I've been reading about it. But I just was frustrated. I unplugged everything, disconnected it, took it into a professional, and there was just couldn't find anything. Other than I've got a bad hard drive and I've got a few bad sectors, but she couldn't duplicate it. She couldn't clone the drive. But that's not a huge issue.
Did she try Malwarebytes or something like that? Take that off?
Yeah. She's been working on computers for years and years. She has her own shop.
Did she try with malware bites? Do we know that?
I can't tell you what she tried. She just said I couldn't find anything, and I had another hard drive, so you know I'm basically starting over. I got Windows 10 Pro. And we're gonna reinstall the software one by one, so it'll be okay.
Well, you can reuse that old hard drive. Just wipe it clean.
Yeah.
What you might want to download Derek's Boot and Nuke, and then run that against that drive. It'll wipe it completely clean, and then you can reload it and use it for a backup drive or something like that.
Okay. Derek's?
D-A-R-I-K-S.
I'm glad you spelled that, because it's a little different, yeah.
And it's called Boot and Nuke.
Okay.
and what you're going to do...
It means nuke as well.
Of course.
And it will... It'll actually... You can create a CD or a bootable thumb drive from it. You'll boot your computer... You boot the computer that has that drive in it with it after you're sure you don't need anything else from it, and then just run it and just tell it to do a Department of Defense or a DOD wipe.
DOD, yeah.
And it'll go through and wipe zeros on it 32 times. It'll probably run for about a day and a half, but it'll be very well done.
Yeah. Alex, I think your solution, by the way, of getting a new hard drive is probably the best way to deal with it. Although I have to tell you, as I put in the query that I put into Google was Zeus virus detected, and it came up with how to remove Windows detected Zeus virus from Microsoft support. So, and the other thing that's interesting about this is that there's something here about adware cleaner. So I'm wondering if it may be adware as well as a...
Well, according to Malwarebytes, they said it's a Zeus Trojan.
Oh, it's a Trojan. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if you run their package or use something like Kaspersky between the two of them, you'll be able to get rid of it without any problem.
Guys, can we talk about this for just a minute? Because while we've got you on, Alex, one of the things I found is that there are some times when one solution isn't enough.
No, sometimes you have to use what I call a cocktail. Yep. And so a lot of times I'll use Malwarebytes, maybe one of the commercial virus removal programs, and I'll also get something like, I get it from Major Geeks. What is that called? My brain just went dead on that. But it's a program I download from Major Geeks that will also go out there and search for rootkits and all those sort of things.
Yeah.
And between those three, that pretty much cleans up just about anything out there.
So it doesn't... Go ahead.
Is there an hardware encryption software that you would recommend? I had encrypted on mine for a while, and it was active, but... I didn't renew it because I never had any issues, but I'm thinking about doing that too.
Hardware encryption or software encryption? Because there's a difference between the two. Hardware encryption.
The actual drive itself. I want to encrypt the entire drive.
Well, you can do that with software, and most people do.
Yeah.
Most people do.
And you can use Microsoft's BitLocker to do that. Go to Microsoft.com. They have a program called BitLocker that will do that encryption for you.
Will it do the whole hard drive, though? It told me it wouldn't do the entire C drive unless I was an administrator. I'm the only one on the computer.
It'll do the entire hard drive completely, to the point that when you boot up the computer, you'll have to put in the passcode for BitLocker before it will continue to boot.
I may do that before I actually put any other programs on, too.
Yep. Yes. I would do that. Yeah. If you want encryption, it will slow it down just slightly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good, gentlemen. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for good questions. And I guess it doesn't surprise me that even an experienced computer tech would have a problem, with identifying one particular kind of the Zeus, for instance. But
it's all over the internet.
Yeah.
And Malwarebytes takes care of it.
Yep. Okay. All right, 800-859-0957 is the phone number. Let's go to Bob in Fraser. Bob, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
How you doing, guys?
Good, good. How may we help you, sir?
Okay, well, I'm trying to hook up a printer with a static IP.
because it keeps losing. It's a wireless printer. There's no network cable for it. But it keeps losing the IP address, and it, half the time it's offline. You can't print to it.
And this printer doesn't have a network jack on the back of it anywhere?
No, it doesn't have a network jack. It has a USB.
Okay. So what you're going to want to do is exactly what you said. You're going to want to set up a static IP address for that printer. And that's a combination of using your router and the printer to set up that IP address.
Okay.
So you, whoever the manufacturer of your router is, you'll have to, I would either look in the box for the manual or go to their website and download the PDF for it, and they'll explain how to go into the administrator's console on that router, and then you'll go through the process. They'll walk you through on where you can go in and set up a static IP address, and then once you set that IP address up, then you're going to take that same IP address that you set up as a static IP and assign it to that printer. Then that way, regardless of whether or not the router goes up or down, when it comes back up, that IP address will always be for that printer.
Okay, so the DHCP range is, let's say, 59 to 100.
Correct.
And I'm going to set the static IP address outside that.
That is correct.
Okay, I'm not going to use a DHCP reservation.
So it will actually, well, you could do that. That's one way to do it. But if you set up a static IP address, a lot of times the printer, if you look at the help menu for that or the manual, if you remember it or retained it, it'll tell you what address that you should set your router to reach that printer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So just look in the manual.
I've been going into the printer, and I've been trying to manually set an IP address in a printer, and then go and do a printout, and it shows nothing for IP address.
Yeah,
it comes out blank.
Did you turn off DHCP on the printer before you set the address? Because if you don't do that, it's going to still try to pull an address on its own and not retain the one that you set.
Yeah.
No, I did not. I didn't know you could actually do that. Maybe that's...
Depending on the printer, but many of them do that. And that's the easiest way to get it set up.
All right. I'm going to plug away again at this.
call us back at 15 minutes.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work.
Yeah. We'll come back and try to plug away with you at it. Thanks so much for your call. All right, folks, we got some lines open, 800-859-0957. Look forward to helping you on the Internet Advisor. Thank you for joining us here on the Internet Advisor. I'm Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and Ed Riddell. Pardon me, Cal Carson in studio with me.
I can pretend I'm Ed. I just have to get more hungry.
Yeah, that's right.
Ed is not with us this afternoon. He's out enjoying some time with his... son Talon, and having a great afternoon with them. So we certainly don't begrudge him that. And we're glad to have Cal with us to answer questions here, because Cal's going to be out. You're going to be on ice.
Oh, yeah, I'll be chilling for the next couple of weeks. But, you know, it's to the benefit of these young folks who get out there every week and they practice their craft, and then they go to competitions and practice their craft, and hopefully they go home with something clanking around their neck.
Yeah, and you provide some additional services that a lot of parents can't provide. So you continue to – your daughter was in it at one point, and now that she's graduated off to college and graduated – but you're still involved and still helping out the amateur figure skating associations.
Yeah. And it's just like everything else, just like we were talking about during the break with your dad. It's just a matter of giving back to the sport. You know, someone else did it for when my kid was in there. I'm just giving back. Though I think I've given more.
Yeah, I think
but that's another story.
You gave until it hurt.
You know, Foster, I did want to talk about one thing. The gentleman that called about encryption.
Oh, yes.
And I think he was doing Windows 10.
Mm-hmm.
Encryption is very easy with Windows 10. BitLocker comes with Windows 10. So you just, it's three steps. You sign on to Windows with an administrator account. You go to Start. You enter the word encryption. And then it'll come up and says Change Device Encryption Settings. And then you select Manage BitLocker. And then click Turn on BitLocker and just follow the instructions.
Wow. Simple as pie. You know, it's an interesting thing about Windows 10 for all the complaints about it over the years as it was, because it was so different from what had been out before. They have done a marvelous job of including so much within Windows 10.
Yeah, they you know, all of the...
From a security point of view, certainly.
They generally improve the product instead of degrade the product. So, you know, a lot of times, once you get past the uproar that we all have with change...
Yeah.
And you start to really look at what you have in front of you, you find out there's little nuggets of goodness all over the place.
And this, I think, particularly with Windows 10, because this is the last Windows they're going to put out. You know, I think, and that alone was a huge change for people, because we've all been used to, when's the next Windows coming out, fixing the problems that we have had. And now they've said, look, this is it. We'll work within Windows 10 to change things and to improve things and to, you know, give the security updates and everything else that we need. But this is essentially the last one that's coming out.
Is it because they quit learning how to count, or is it getting...
Well, you know, they stopped learning to count when they skip nine.
Skip nine, yeah. Hey, you know, one thing that I think was, you know, we went over very quickly and may have been confusing, and that is, how and why would you assign a static IP address to a printer as opposed to allowing a dynamic assignment of IP addresses?
By the way, I confess to Gary and to Cal during the break, I didn't understand most of that conversation about static versus dynamic HP. But
Cal explained it really well.
Cal did a wonderful job of it. We should have taped that.
Well, I can try real quickly to do it again if you want me to.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. So each device gets an IP address on the internet. So the printer in your house gets an IP address, and the way they ship them is they have something called DHCP running, which says the printer just goes to the router and says, router, what address can I have? And the router says, you're going to have address number one. And go, okay, great, I'll take address number one. And then you set up your computer and say, the printer is at address number one. And then the power goes out in your house. And then the power comes back on again. And so now you the printer wakes up, and it says to the router, hey, what's my address? And the router says, I already gave one to somebody. You get number two. And your computer is still configured thinking that the printer address is number one. You go to print, and it doesn't work.
That's the bottom line. It don't work.
So to make that not happen, you do what they call a static IP address. You tell the printer, no, you can't go get an IP address from the router. Mr. Router, give the printer an address. I want you to give it number one. And it gives it number one and says, printer, you're going to be number one. You set up your computer. It's saying, go print the number one. It prints. The power goes off. The power comes back on. The printer doesn't ask for an IP address. The router says, you have IP address one. The printer goes, okay, I'm number one. And your computer still knows it's one, and so it prints.
But you have to do something, and Gary, we pointed this out before, you have to turn off DHCP, which is dynamic
host protocol.
Something protocol. Anyway, the key.
Computing, maybe. We'll make it up. But
yeah. Dynamic host protocol.
It's dynamically assigned.
The D means dynamic. You know, it's one of the most, every
time
it's
basically a little program that's running that goes out and says, please give me an IP address. Please give me an IP address. So if you turn it off on the printer, then the printer goes, like, I don't know what to do. What should I do? And then you say, printer, you get number one.
It would seem then that it is to your advantage with printers in particular, where you don't want them shifting around in your system,
to identify it
with a static IP address.
You only really need to do that in most cases with the wireless printers, because those are the ones that are most finicky, always looking for an IP address, may lose one, may get one.
Yeah.
If you take a hard wire, a RJ45 wire, and plug it in, and if your printer has the capability, and you plug it into the back of the printer and then plug the other end into the router, it's set on that port, and it's going to stay that way in 99% of cases.
Okay, if you're close enough to the printer, you can do that. All right.
Right, exactly. So I, when it comes to printers, all my printers in my house are all hardwired.
So let's stop for a second and step back in there, because that's important, because when I buy a wireless printer, I think, oh, good, then I can just, it doesn't matter, you know, if I identify it as a certain address. But the real bottom line is, I have it sitting right next to my computer. Why in the world wouldn't I put it into my router?
Uh, I don't know. I mean, unless you want to do what a lot of people like to do nowadays, and that is let's eliminate as many wires as we can from
okay.
our computer.
Okay.
And yes, it does cut down on clutter because that's one less wire you have to deal with. But if that's not an issue for you, I hardwire.
See, and I've had problems where I've had two. I have two printers. One is a color printer that I use as rarely as I can in order to save on the covered colored
ink. Yes.
But and I have a laser printer, a black and white laser printer, which I use for the majority of my printing.
Right.
And the problem has been that sometimes I can't get Jenny's computer, her little laptop, to reach that one printer. Hmm. So it would behoove me, it sounds like, then to make sure that I've got it hardwired.
Either hardwire it, or if it has a USB port on the back of it, put a USB cable in it, take the laptop over there, plug it in, and you get it right off the money right that way.
Most of the time, that's kind of inconvenient in the sense that she's moving around the apartment with the computer, and she's, you know, whether she's sitting at her desk or on the couch, she can print from that.
It's a workaround when you can't get the wireless to work.
Hmm. Okay.
Plug it right in.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Plug and Pray looks at it and goes, hey, there's a printer. Let's print. And so, you know, it's a workaround if you can't get the wireless to work at that particular time.
And wireless printers, I imagine, would work best in situations where, let's say, you've got...
The wire becomes a trip hazard because you're running across your living room floor.
Or, for instance, you've talked about it, Gary, you know, that you're out in the back porch with your laptop and the printer is in next to your workstation, wherever that may be. You know, where you've got a monitor.
Well, you want to be able to leverage a device amongst different people as well. Now, you can still print to it wirelessly if you're doing Wi-Fi over your router. Even though the printer's plugged into the router, you can still print to it over Wi-Fi by using that IP address still. So you don't have to be wired directly to the printer.
Well, folks, I hope that you've been enjoying this. And matter of fact, if you didn't catch quite everything, but you want to be able to go back and check on this, on Sunday night, usually by Sunday night or Monday morning, I will have posted our entire podcast. That's a recording of both hours of our program. Yes, we had a first hour of the program in which we talked about tax software and getting ready for the tax man, since it is the season for the tax man coming. And then you'll also be able to hear the questions that we took and the answers that we provided for our listeners as they called in. That's all going to be available to you on our website if you go to internetadvisor.net and look for this 1708, which is the current podcast.